number two of that 590 show coming at you right now on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio behind the microphones. John Giamatti Rudolph behind the dials. I saw that our friend Darren Yates of Riot Radio is going to have John Waite on his show tomorrow. And I sent him a message. I'm like, you let John Waite know that I come back on the second hour of my show to Bad English's Best of What I Got every damn night. We've got to be the only show in North America that plays any Bad English when they come back from commercial, Matt Rocchio. We've got to be the only ones. Very happy to be joined right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line for a great young writer for bballbreakdown.com. You can follow him on Twitter at YoungNBA. Shane Young, how are you, my friend?
I'm tired, man.
Tired? You told me, okay, dude, you can't be tired. You told me when I called you that you're going to be so hopped up on all this caffeine that you're going to be drinking for game one tonight, and now you're tired.
And guess what happened? I come home, and I'm like, man, I've been in the office all day. It's time for a nap, and it's been a long preview week, Matt.
Yeah, it seems like it's been forever since we last seen a NBA basketball game this year, but we're finally going to get what we need tonight when Game 1 starts at Oracle Arena Game 1. I think this is the best shot that the Cavs have, basically. I even though I think you and I agree that the Warriors are going to win in 5, but I think the Cavaliers, they have a shot of winning this game tonight because we saw what happened with the Warriors when they had that long layoff and they played Game 1 against San Antonio. They won it, but only because Kawhi Leonard went down. They may not be as lucky tonight.
Yeah, I remember you mentioned that when I was on the show last week, that maybe this could be a bad thing for the Dubs, that they've had a long wait. But, you know, Cleveland's had a long wait as well, and I think Golden State just needed their rest, get some shooting help. I mean, Klay Thompson has been a disaster, and I think that you know, the way they're going to be able to play tonight, it's going to be open and free. I think Klay's going to get a few early good shots, and you know, I think this rest is going to really be beneficial, especially for players like Draymond who need that energy for the entire game. So.
And also, LeBron is not very good on the road in Game 1 in the playoffs. He's not very. I think he's got. I think his record is maybe 2-10, and that second victory was against Boston in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, 1-6 in the finals. Only win coming in 2011 against Dallas, and they didn't even win that series. But every year he loses game one, and especially on the road, as you said, I mean, he hasn't won. So, I mean, in the finals, it's going to be hard. I mean, and then, you know, any other year, I would say that it's okay if you lose game one, that you could always bounce back. He's done it a few times in his career. But now, if you go down 0-1, you're asking yourself, you're just climbing a mountain, because like you're asking yourself to beat this Warriors team 4 out of 6 times. It just becomes impossible. So I don't think that he wants to go down 0-1. This is the most important game, either tonight or game 2, so he don't get in a big deficit this time.
How important do you think this series is for his legacy? I think that LeBron's legacy is already cemented, and all this is really going to do, if he does win it, is in some people's eyes maybe have him catapult past Michael Jordan as far as greatest to ever play the game. But I mean, right now there aren't people on the fence about LeBron James. Either you love LeBron or you hate him. There aren't too many people who are in between about him, and I don't think this series is going to sway anybody's opinion.
Oh, no. See, the thing is, even if LeBron wins the series in 6 games, which in a convincing effort, say he dominates them, I mean, you're going to have some guys like myself that, you know, are ready to say he's the greatest player ever. Because, I mean, he's number 4 for me, as I've stated before. But, like, if he beats this team, and that's another accomplishment that, like, MJ can't even say he did. But then you're going to also have guys that are just so hell-bent on thinking of any excuse possible to keep Jordan there. And, you know, I love MJ. You know, he's Kobe times 3 to me. You know, that's exactly how the kind of basketball I grew up loving. But, you know, at some point you cannot deny LeBron. And he keeps on knocking down the door every time. In 2013, Ray Allen shot. You know, 2015, he almost beat that team by himself in Golden State. And then last year, I mean, just keeps on knocking down the door. And I really think that this year it's going to be undeniable if he closes out in a decent effort.
I don't think there's any player playing in the NBA Finals is going to be under more pressure than Kevin Durant. And he's almost in a no-win situation, too, because if you win the finals, well, yeah, you were supposed to win the finals. You joined a team that won 73 games last year and had Draymond Green not get injured or get suspended. And if Andrew Bogut not get injured, maybe they win back-to-back titles. So either you win, well, you're supposed to win because you joined that team, or if you lose, you joined that team and you couldn't even win the NBA, you couldn't even win the title. So I think that Kevin Durant's under a tremendous amount of pressure.
Yeah, Durant probably has the most pressure. Like, all right, let's stack up finals by how much pressure that these people have been under. 2011 against Dallas, the pressure was high for the Heat, but at the same time, looking back on it in hindsight in 2020, like, we see that even though they lost, LeBron still rebounded from that disastrous loss. 2012 finals, I thought, was big for LeBron. If he loses that one, he'll never recover. Not as, not mentally, but, just reputation-wise.
Sure.
So I think, 2012, what LeBron was under against Durant was insane. But if you want to put 2017 Durant right under that, I would say go ahead, because, if he loses this, can you imagine the scrutiny? Can you imagine the backlash? They have to win this finals for everything to be vindicated for Durant.
And here's another thing, too. If you're Golden State and you bring in Kevin Durant and you can't beat this Cleveland Cavaliers team, you got to be thinking to yourself, why are we keeping this guy around then?
I don't know. Because you still want to keep him around because you've blown out every team by, 16 points per game this entire postseason. So, it's worth it to keep him around. And he's the best scorer alive. But you do have to think about, man, should we think about how the style we're playing or our bench? Is our bench just so bad that we can't do anything about it? But I think their bench is fine, and I don't see how they're going to have any problems scoring against this Cavaliers defense. If this was last year's Cavs defense, which finished 10th overall, last year was a top 10 team in both areas, offensive defense. If it was last year's Cavs team, I would say this is going to be a really, really tightly played series. It's just not just two different defenses. Cleveland's average age is 29. It might be 30 years old. Average.
It's an older team.
Yeah, it's the oldest team by rotation in the NBA. So,
Shane Young from bballbreakdown.com joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at YoungNBA. Shane, give me someone on that Warriors team not named Green, Durant, Curry, or Thompson that you think is the most important to that organization's chances of winning.
For this particular year, it's hilarious because it's a guy that wasn't even on the team last year. I really think, if you want to go by importance, obviously Iguodala, but he's part of the death lineup, so I'm not going to say him. He's an obvious one, because if he starts hitting shots, it's over. But from the bench, David West is important, because if they can win the minutes, because David West is going to come in, halfway through the first and then start the second quarter or whatnot, so, and he's going to play with a little bit of Curry, a little bit with Clay, a lot with Clay. If he can have the same chemistry in those cuts, those backdoor slips, those post cuts that he has with Klay Thompson and get easy points. If they can win those minutes with David West on the floor, this is going to be a wrap. He's the most important passer on the second unit. His defense is important from playing with the Pacers those 3 or 4 years against LeBron and whatnot. And I think that just his skill, he's obviously smarter than JaVale McGee, obviously is going to be able to make winning plays. And I think that's going to be important in this series.
Now let's talk about Cleveland. Give me the most important player for Cleveland, not named LeBron, Kyrie, Love, and Tristan Thompson.
Okay. I'm going to stick with a starter, because this guy is – you don't think about him as a starter. You think about him as just a sharp-shooting bench player. But J.R. Smith, increasingly important. I cannot stress this enough. This might be the biggest bullet point in my preview that I released this week. J.R. Smith – in the first two games last year, when they got smashed by 48 total points last year, he had 8 total points. He had 8 points in 2 games.
Yeah.
And they were completely washed off the court, slaughtered. But in game three, whenever Cleveland won by 30, which is hilarious to even say, Jarrett Smith had 18 points, had a really good game. He is important. You get him going, you get him confident in his shot, and get him taking at least 10 shots. I mean, whenever he takes more than 10 shots, they usually win because he's hitting a lot of them. I think that just getting him going in the first quarter is going to be important, J.R. Smith.
How bad do you think it would be for the NBA if the Warriors just crush the Cavaliers in a four-game sweep?
Bad for the NBA? I would say bad for, just the fan perception, yes. But I think good in terms of it's going to keep on fueling this rivalry. And that's what the league wants to just make bank some money off of, this incredible rivalry we have going on. And if they roll them in four or five games, the league did not do bad whenever the Spurs won in 2007 in four games. The NBA did not do bad whenever the Spurs rolled the Heat in 2014. The NBA still benefited. And that's why LeBron is so amazing, because he's going to be back next year. He's going to be back the year after that. So, it doesn't matter, because we're going to have many more chances at long series.
Sure, but I think it would be bad in a sense that if Golden State is just going to crush everybody in the West, and everybody knows that the West is the toughest conference, and everybody's like, well, we're just going to sit here and wait for the – everybody was saying, well, we're just waiting for the finals to start when the NBA first tipped off in October. Everybody's just like, yeah, what's the – I mean, a lot of people were like, what's the point of the regular season? Was waiting for the playoffs to start. And then Golden State has made the playoffs pretty much, meaningless. And then if they blow through the toughest competition the East has to have, then, a lot of people are going to be like, why are we even watching this?
Yeah, I do kind of agree that, if the Warriors do win, like I said, they're going to win in five with a margin of 65 points. If that happens, then you're going to have a lot of fans that come back next year that when you try to talk NBA with them, they're going to be like, I don't care. It's pointless. I don't care. I want to watch this crap. You're going to have a lot of fans like that. And, I guess in the general sense, it's bad because you're turning away a lot of casual viewers. My dad, for instance, couldn't care less because, he just knows it's inevitable. It's going to be these two teams. But then again, I think you're going to have enough people, just enough, like you and I, that are still invested in the regular season, even though that, it seems just inevitable we're going to have this. We're going to have a lot of people that are still invested in it. And somehow, Matt, the ratings keep going up. I don't know how.
Yeah, you're right. People are still watching. It's amazing. Everybody I've talked to, hardcore NBA fans and even casual NBA fans have all said the same thing. The playoffs this year have not been very good, and for the most part, they've been right. But you're correct. The ratings are high.
Yeah, and you have to kind of admit that. I don't know if you all are really big in the NFL. Like, the NFL's, their ratings are taking a little bit of a hit. I mean, it's still dominant because they're the NFL, and that's just America's sport. But I think that it's NFL's still more interesting in terms of parity. But then again, you have the Patriots there almost every year. So, I would rather watch a basketball game. Just the amount of chaos that goes on now, it's crazy. I mean, we saw game one against the Spurs, man. That stuff can happen. That stuff is real. You could be down 25, and then this team might be the only team in NBA history that if they're down 25, you better not bet on them losing. You just better just hold back and wait and see what's going to happen, because they can heat up in a hurry. So I like it.
The NFL's popularity a lot of it is based on gambling and fantasy football, which is just another extension of gambling. So that's the reason why. I'm serious. If you, for some reason, let's just say there was no such thing as gambling and no such thing as fantasy football, I think the NFL would still be pretty popular, but I don't think it would be as popular.
Yeah, because everyone cares about what their players are doing.
Absolutely.
They're trying to make it more into an individual thing, but football, there is not a more team-based sport than football. I mean, you have to be good on both ends of the field, and I think that basketball is getting to that too, right? No matter how good the Warriors are offensively, there is a defense like the Spurs that can come along and cause some trouble. And with Kawhi Leonard, it could have went six or seven games for that series. So hopefully next year, I guess we're all just setting up to say hopefully next year the West is a little bit better in terms of overall depth. And I thought the Rockets were right there. The Clippers should have been right there. They weren't going to challenge Golden State, but they would have made it interesting. And what happens with Chris Paul?
There we go.
Spurs,
I was getting ready to say that. That's the thing that can make the West interesting is if Chris Paul joins San Antonio. If he goes to San Antonio, that can make it interesting because then everybody's going to want to see the Warriors and the Spurs in the playoffs. That's what everybody's going to want to see.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like the way the Thunder play as well. Like, the Thunder are just ferocious, but they're behind one spirited guy, and that's Russell Westbrook. And but Utah's coming. I mean, it's just going to take some time for these teams to mature. Look at the Eastern Conference. You have a lot of good teams, but no one that's above that level of good. Like, they have to get into the great territory,
yeah.
And that takes time.
I agree. So, I mean, we talked about this before, but let's give everybody your prediction again. You got Warriors and how many?
Warriors and five after they win by 14 tonight. Yeah.
Okay. And who do you have winning the finals MVP?
You asked me this the other day, and I really, really wanted to say Steph, but I eventually went with KD, and the more I look at it today, the more I just consider how many more free throws Durant's going to take than Steph. I mean, Steph's a 90% free throw shooter, but the thing is, he takes like three or four a game. I wish he would take more. I wish he would get to the lane and get to the line more, but Durant's going to have more easy points, Matt. Like, he's just going to have 30. He's going to have so many 30-point games this series. If, obviously, he stays in the game long enough for it to happen. And then it's going to get 10, you know, a lot of games with 10 rebounds, a lot of games with 5 assists. I think just the voters, there's only like 11 or 12 voters for Finals MVP. They're going to be pulled into Durant's big numbers. I think Steph's going to deserve it, but Durant will get it.
I agree with you on both. I think it's going to be the Warriors in five, and I think that Kevin Durant is going to win MVP. I think he's going to come in.
Yeah.
I think he's going to come in like a man on a mission. And, we all know what happened last year. The Warriors blew a 3-1 lead, but they destroyed Cleveland those first three games. I remember the National, what they were talking about on the National programs was, is LeBron going to have to take a lesser role on another team if he's ever going to want to win another title? That's what everybody was talking about. I remember hearing the conversations, and now I understand what happened. The Cleveland Cavaliers made this unprecedented comeback, and they won Cleveland's first title in you know, decades. But that's an outlier. That's probably never going to happen again.
You're right, and you know, let me say this for the viewers out here. Like, I'm so tired of this. Let's say Cleveland wins this in seven, and let's say Cleveland wins this in six. Please just refrain from coming after people like myself or anyone else, Zach Lowe, Jeff Van Gundy, that also picked Warriors in five or Warriors in a quick series, for the simple reason of, dude, a lot of people are doing this. Don't just single out someone and think that they're against Cleveland. I'm so tired of, I'm friends with a lot of Cleveland fans, but I'm so tired of it being Cleveland against the world.
Oh, it's not. Well, and I'm cheering for Cleveland. I want Cleveland to win. I just don't think they're going to.
Yeah, if the Cavs come out and completely just destroy my prediction of the Warriors running them over in five, go on ESPN prediction list and take a look at how many Warriors fives there are.
Yeah.
This is the national consensus pick. I mean, I would say Warriors in six is probably the actual consensus, but a lot of people think this could be over in a flash. So just pay attention to what's going on in the world before you come after people.
Shane, enjoy the game tonight, and I'm sure we'll have you on again soon to talk about the results.
Thanks, man. Just bring me on if it's a 3-1 lead, and we'll talk about it.
Sounds good, Shane. Enjoy the game tonight. Thanks, Shane. That is Shane Young from bballbreakdown.com. You can follow him on Twitter at YoungNBA. It is now time to head to that 590 Show Sports Update Desk and Matt Rocchio.
Cardinals in action earlier today, down the Dodgers 2-0 in the final game of their four-game series. Adam Wainwright, an impressive game. Six innings pitch, no earned runs, knocks his season ERA down to 3.79. Just two runs today for the Cardinals, both of them from an Adam Wainwright home run in the second. Another bad day for the offense, just nine total hits for the Cardinals today. Jerko and DeJong, the only ones with multi-hit games in today's lineup. Cardinals will hope to get the offense going in a three-game series in Chicago versus the Cubs. Starts tomorrow. First pitch is set for 1:20 in the afternoon. About 35 minutes from now, the Cavaliers and the Warriors will get that series started from Oakland earlier today in Major League Baseball news. The Milwaukee Brewers down the Mets 2-1. The Rockies over the Mariners 6-3. And in action right now, the Marlins up 2-0 over the Diamondbacks. The Yankees keep pushing their lead over the Blue Jays. They're up 7-0 in the top of the fourth. And the Orioles have tacked one on as they move into the bottom of the fifth. They lead the Red Sox 3-1. I'm Matt Rocchio with your 590 Sports Update.
Thank you very much, Matt Rocchio. Let's take a commercial break. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.